Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, welcome to the Autism Detectives. This is Patricia Lemmer, the author of Outsmarting Autism. I'm thrilled today to have as my guest Stephanie Duren. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. Stephanie, you are an advocate and a fighter for health freedom in Alabama, right?
Yes, ma'am.
How did you get into this?
Oh, wow. You know, God just kind of prepares us along our journey to embark upon the battles that he would have us embark upon. And it all started many, many years ago when my son had a vaccine injury to his childhood vaccinations. And that set me on a path of finding holistic care and treatment with him, learning more about the lies that were told about being vaccines being safe and effective, and then kind of cueing me into being more aware when the mandates started happening and COVID started ripping through the country and the mandates and everything started shutting everything down. It just kind of perked my ears, and I was more aware of what could be coming down the pipeline in terms
and
of
you were ready.
Mandates. We were, yeah. We were
yep.
really ready.
I love
for
that. I love that way you put it. That God put you on this path, and little did you know, right? You had no idea.
Yeah, I don't think any of us could have prepared for the battles that we were about to face and endure all those years ago.
Wow. So, what's your son's name?
My son's name is Grayson, and he is 12 years old now.
Wow. So how old was he when he was injured?
He was injured by his one-year-old shots. I suspect that the flu vaccine was the main culprit in that particular round. I knew enough at the time. He's my second child. I knew enough when my oldest, who is now 18, just from some rumblings that I had heard from other mothers who had come before me and had started sounding the alarm about the MMR vaccine and what they were seeing, to skip that one at his one-year-old visit. I didn't know enough about everything, but I knew that that one made me uneasy because of what I had heard. And so
right.
I'm so thankful that we did not have that particular shot at it. I think if we would have continued to vaccinate him, or if he would have gotten even that particular shot, I think the outcome for his story would have been much, much more severe.
Wow. So which shot was it that injured him?
It was the flu vaccine.
No kidding. I haven't ever heard of a flu story. Isn't that interesting? So what were his symptoms? How did you know? And did you relate it to the shot or... And what was your experience with your doctor, I can imagine?
Well, when he came home, he just, after that shot, he just screamed and he cried. And it wasn't a cry that you would typically have from a child. It was just like this scream of pain. It sounded like an animal, quite frankly. He screamed, this high-pitched scream, for at least 24 hours, and I called his pediatrician, and they said,
give me chills.
Oh, this is normal. It's a normal reaction. And
normal.
And nothing about that was normal. Nothing about that was normal. And so after he finally just collapsed in exhaustion, the next day he just stopped talking. He absolutely lost all of his words. He had 11 words at that time. And, you know, I was a very prolific Facebook poster at the time, so I can go and look back at those memories and know exactly which words he had and words he stopped saying. And then it just eventually rolled into absolute 6 months of silence.
Wow. Now, did he have physical issues? Did he have a rash or diarrhea or fever or any of that?
He had a low-grade fever. After that day, his skin just kind of turned to sandpaper. He had these really red, dark circles under his eyes. He really looked like pictures of children who I see maybe going through chemotherapy. He just looked very, very ill.
Oh, my goodness.
He was unsettled. He was a happy little guy before that, but he was very unsettled. He was not... He just seemed miserable. He was unhappy. He was hurting, and he couldn't tell me any of these things. You know, he just looked very, very sick.
And so did your pediatrician come around? What happened with the doctor?
She did not ever come around. They explained to me that, oh, this is normal behavior. They're going to have a reaction and some redness at the injection site, and you might have some fever and blah, 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 blah. But his reaction was so, so severe. And the pediatrician stopped listening to me. She stopped answering me. She stopped returning my phone calls. She really abandoned us to endure this injury that he had. And at the time, I did not understand that. I did not know. God places people in our lives at just the right time that he would have them help us. And at the time, I had a sweet friend of mine, that I was helping bring her daughter to and from school, and I called her my crunchy granola friend. She did things very differently than I did, and, you know, she did not vaccinate her child, and she cleaned with vinegar, and, you know, here I am wiping everything down with Clorox bleach wipes, and oh, my goodness. And so Grayson wasn't sleeping. I wasn't sleeping. I am doing all of the research myself without the assistance of his pediatrician to try to figure out why my son was so sick. And she just came up to me and put her hand on my shoulder, and I'll never forget this. She said, "Have you ever considered that it might have been his vaccinations that he had?"
Wow.
And I said, "You know, I had not, but I can certainly go research and read about that." And that, you know, one simple statement sent me on this path that has kind of propelled me forward over the last 11 years now. And I learned as much as I could at the time and tracked down practitioners that could help us on our journey and heal my son. I put a stop to absolutely every medical intervention that was happening at the time. And, you know, I did messages that he needed to be seen for a well visit because he was due for this, that, or the other, and I absolutely balked and said, "I don't know what's wrong with my son, and I'm not going to put anything into his body until I figure out what caused these issues." And so we just stopped absolutely everything.
Good for you. And how did you get him back?
Well, that took several years. Eventually, I was put into contact with Dr. Stephanie Cave, who was our biggest blessing for our family. And she had written a book, called What Your Doctor Doesn't Tell You About Vaccinations or Vaccines. And I was reading to that book, and I scheduled an appointment with her. And
she's
amazing.
She's in Baton Rouge, isn't she?
She is in Baton Rouge. We traveled to go see her, and she sat with me in her consultation room as I laid out every bit of paper and medical record that we had accumulated for my son. We had seen just about every single specialist that you could imagine. He was reacting to foods. He was having skin issues. Like, I'm like, you know, when the pediatrician kind of stopped helping. I said, well, I don't need referrals for anybody. I'll just start at the top. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Well, you really got a good one. Is she still practicing?
She is. She now sees my other children and my husband and I. And
Wow. Well, give her my best. I go way back with her. From
amazing.
Oh, my goodness, like the 90s and 2000s. I don't remember what year that book was published, but it was a game changer for a lot of people. Thank goodness you found her. She's just terrific.
You know, one of the things that stood out to me about Dr. Cave when I went into her office was she's sitting at a table looking across at you with her eyeballs. She's got a notepad and she's got a pen, but she's not staring at a computer screen jotting down notes. She's interacting with you. She's asking great questions. There's a couch there that my son was sitting on.
It's a real relationship you have with her.
Yes, and her consultations are intense. They're long. It was 2 hours long. She marks off that much time to initially meet with each patient, and she was just such a blessing to us. So she ordered tests and talked to me about what she knew about vaccine injury, confirmed that in all likelihood Grayson had brain swelling at the time from his flu vaccine that just shut him down. And she also said, you know, and confirmed that if we would have continued vaccinating him, we most likely would have either lost him to some type of neurological event or to, you know, possibly even death. So,
So you got a warning and then you listened to it. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have other children. He has an older sibling?
I do. I have four children.
Wow.
I have two that were vaccinated according to schedule and two that are not at all. And my two that have not been are the healthiest of my bunch.
Oh, surprise,
so
surprise.
I kind of have my own little vaxxed versus unvaxxed study going on in the Dernan household.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So what did you do? Did you do diet? Did you do allergy elimination? Did you do occupational therapy? What kind of interventions did you do?
Mm-hmm. Grayson eventually came around. His vaccine injury manifested in a whole bunch of autoimmune issues with food. He had massive food allergies, skin reactions and stomach reactions to foods and digestive issues. He had the strangest poop ever. And I've talked to other vaccine
injured
children.
The poop is in the poop.
I'm telling you. And, you know, that's kind of a common thread there.
It is. It is. When I went to conferences where Dr. Cave was speaking, that was the main topic of conversation was poop. It wasn't behavior. It was, it was poop. It's amazing how much we've learned about the value of poop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you report this to the vaccine injury people?
You know, by the time all of that was confirmed and put two and two together, it had not been reported. And since we were not able to report it either, the pediatrician and all the other specialists did not notate their records appropriately. They didn't notate our interactions, our phone calls, our injuries. There was nothing that I could show from a medical standpoint. And by the time we got to Dr. Cave, I think it had been 4 years by that point. And from my understanding, you had to report within 3 years.
Right.
Wow. So, but now I tell everybody about theirs and to report. There's actually an emergency room doctor who I had a conversation with recently just through my advocacy, and she reports vaccine injuries often, but it's such a cumbersome process that it takes her at least 30 minutes per patient to report the initial theirs vaccine injury, and inevitably there's follow-up from there, and each follow-up is about a 30-minute interaction on top of it. But Dr. Cave did a heavy metal screening with Grayson. His heavy metals were through the roof. He went through chelation. He has been taking many, many supplements. And his body finally started calming down. It was hyper-reacting to even safe foods that we knew that he could ingest without issue. And by the time we got to Dr. Cave and started her protocols for him, everything finally settled down. And over the years, we've been able to introduce more foods into his diet that he doesn't react to. And he's 12 now, and he's strong. He's healthy.
Yay.
We just strictly do organic food. Nothing's processed. And
Well, good for you.
Okay now, but it was a lot of work. It was a lot of struggle and finding, you know, healthcare practitioners who know the things that need to be known about this particular issue was a challenge. But, you know, like I said, Dr. Cave just knocked it out of the park and was our biggest blessing. She was absolutely our biggest blessing of that year.
I'm so glad she's still practicing. That was a long time ago that I knew her, and thank goodness you found her. And so does Grayson go to a regular school? Is he doing okay academically?
Yeah, he has not had, after 6 months and we, you know, changed foods and went organic with his meals and stopped vaccinations and, you know, stopped utilizing allopathic medicine, he came around and did not have any neurological effects of that that were long-lasting, thank goodness.
Thank goodness, yeah.
So all of his long-lasting impacts were, you know, from an autoimmune standpoint. But, yeah, he's in regular school, and he's excelling and doing well. He's growing like a weed and just a happy little guy. You know, it's amazing that as he kind of came out of that fog and as we were treating him for the weird poop and the stomach issues and the food allergies and everything else, as things got better, his little happy disposition returned, and he became my smiley little guy again.
Fantastic. And this sent you down the rabbit hole of advocacy, didn't it? This was a life-changing incident that helped you find your niche.
It did. You know, although Dr. Cave had we had a medical exemption for Grayson, when we moved to Alabama, the exemption process is very cumbersome, and they would not, the Department of Public Health that monitors the exemption process, would not accept a medical vaccine exemption from an out-of-state doctor. And so...
So you were living in Louisiana at that time?
We were, and then my husband's job transferred us over here to Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to be very attuned to where we were living as far as these school exemptions were concerned. And so it's always kind of at the forefront of my mind that we have to make sure that these exemptions don't go away. I had heard about other states where there was a movement to eliminate religious exemptions for children to vaccinations. And so I got involved with some local mom Facebook groups in my new state and connected with this, you know, because at the time we were so silenced from a regular community standpoint. You know,
uh-huh.
Facebook silenced us. We had incognito Facebook groups and used alternate words for vaccines, you know.
Right,
you wouldn't,
right.
You know, there was like a whole code system. So I kind of found my tribe when I moved over here. And it wasn't too long after that that COVID started. And with the community that I had plugged myself into, it's like all of the radars went up. You know, we had been telling friends and people for several years, you know, one day there's going to be a situation where you will not be able to fly unless you produce a vaccine passport. And we truly saw all of that unfold in front of us.
Right.
And there was a bill introduced in Alabama to stop vaccine passports from coming to our state. We saw the writing on the wall up in New York. We saw people ask to be, you know, to show their papers before they went into the grocery store or participated in everyday life. And so there was a bill introduced here, SB 267, that stopped that, that put a stop to vaccine passports.
Yay.
And the grassroots movement that swelled up as a result of that bill. Were the moms in all of these incognito groups across the state, you know, mm-hmm. that were filled with vaccine-injured families and people who opted for different types of medical treatment for their children. And, you know, we all rose up and collectively formed this huge grassroots movement to pass that bill here in our state.
Wow.
And so that momentum that passed in May of 2021, the momentum of that grassroots effort rolled into the formation of Health Freedom Alabama that I co-founded with my co-director, Casey Cavender, at the time.
Health Freedom Alabama. So is that a nonprofit?
It is. We're a 501c4 nonprofit, and we work legislatively to fight back against bills that will usurp our freedoms and liberties and pass legislation to freedoms and liberties.
Wow, good for you. So it's time for us to take a break, Stephanie, and when we come back, we can talk about how you got involved with Children's Health Defense and RFK Jr. and really more of a stronger and even broader advocacy role.
That sounds great.
Okay. You're listening to the Autism Detectives. My guest today, Stephanie Duren, is fighting for our freedom in the state of Alabama. So stay tuned, and she'll tell us more. We'll be right back.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detective. This is Patricia Lemmer with my guest, Stephanie Duren from Alabama. And Stephanie, you live in the beautiful little town of Fairhope, don't you?
I do. It's so lovely down here. We're not far from the beach at all. We're pretty close to Gulf Shores and Orange Beach. So
I never heard of Fairhope until recently. I have a friend who has just moved there from New Jersey, and she can't say enough nice things about it, and I hope you guys can get together, because she's a strong advocate and working for Children's Health Defense right now. So
yes, I'm looking forward to it. That's very exciting. Get her plugged in with all the freedom fighters that we have down here. And
she's going to be so excited to meet you. So tell us, our listeners, how you then got involved with RFK Jr.
Well, Well, I think it was just more of a meeting in passing, honestly. But in 2019, at the end, I think it was in November, there was something, an event called the Vaccine Injury Event that was held in Washington, D.C., and the Vax Bus was there, and all of the people that I had just begun learning about in this movement were going to be speaking. Mary Holland was there, and Barbara Lowe Fisher, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and it was
all
just,
the good people.
It was all of the people who have since turned into my absolute heroes.
Yep.
And I brought a picture of my son to this event with a friend of mine, and we were on the mall, the lawn of the Capitol there, stage, and there were speakers, and you know, all of these heroes of the movement are just walking around, mingling amongst
us. I
know. And, Andy Wakefield was there, and Paul Thomas as well, and I saw Mr. Kennedy up at the front, and I made my way over there to meet him and shake his hand and just thank him for all of his efforts, and I had an opportunity to pray with him and just pray that God would open the doors for him so that he could be continued to be a voice for all of us, you
right.
know, and I was able to tell him my son's story, and I'm absolutely sure he has heard that story,
right.
you know, a million times by that point, but he was so genuine and so interested, and even though he's heard that story so many times, you know, I didn't ever feel like he was dismissive. He just was such a genuine, sincere person.
Yep. And he, you know, he fell down this vaccine rabbit hole because of his interest in toxins. And the vaccine moms, the autism moms, embraced him and taught him that it wasn't just in rivers, that this mercury problem was in vaccines. And then he got interested in aluminum, and, you know, and here we are today trying to get people to understand that he's genuine and on our side, on the side of children.
Mm-hmm. Well, all of the work that y'all did years and years and years ago and sounding the alarm is what, perked my ears up to the risks of that MMR vaccine, which is why I held off on that particular shot
mm-hmm.
for my son. And I am absolutely convinced if y'all had not done that work and had not been sounding the alarm, I would have just followed along with whatever that pediatrician
yep.
said instead of saying, no, we can do these others, but I don't want you to do that one right now. I'm not comfortable with it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, who knows what could have happened to him.
I know.
We would have been facing, I think, a much greater injury for him than what he's enduring.
Right. And so in your little town and in the state of Alabama, this Health Freedom Alabama, tell me what some of the work is that you're doing now.
Well, we were instrumental, like I said earlier, in passing that bill to stop
yeah.
vaccine passports. Inside of that bill, we were also able to pass legislation that prohibited any further vaccinations from being added to our childhood schedule here in Alabama for school entry. So the COVID vaccines, even though it's on the CDC schedule, it is not a requirement for any schooling, whether it's pre-K through 12 or
that's
upper,
terrific.
You know, institutes of higher learning. It's forbidden here to require the COVID vaccine as
mm-hmm.
a condition of entry. We also, in 2021, filed an Alabama Health Freedom Act, which was considered the gold standard. In our state, it's actually passed in, oh, where was it? I'll have to think about what state actually did that versus an M. Anyway, I'll come back to that. So what the Alabama Health Freedom Act did is it prohibits the discrimination of anybody based upon vaccination status. So it creates a protected class in our state that doesn't allow employers or licensing boards to discriminate against anyone based upon their vaccination status.
God, I wish they had that in other places.
Well, unfortunately, it has not passed yet. We have been working on that diligently every year, and we'll be filing it again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Last 2023, in legislative session of 2023, there was a bill that we supported and worked to pass that would prohibit the microchipping of employees. So we have protections in our state. And, you know, we see the writing on the wall. You know, the efforts that they are making in other sectors of science, and I say that word loosely, you know, we're just trying to protect people here and give them choice over that. So it is illegal to require the microchipping of any employee here in our state. And then in 2024, we also were instrumental in helping to pass it to ban and grow meat here in Alabama. So we called it Franken meat. It had a universal ick.
Franken meat? Oh, my goodness. And what do they do with that? They make fake food.
It is, yeah. So they were growing... there were companies over on the West Coast that were growing a meat product from meat cells in a petri dish, and we saw information and articles that they were discussing their product with fast food industries, and so that kind of raised some alarm bells for us.
Of course.
We should protect our food supply at all costs.
Mm. Wow. How can we get families more vaccine aware and vaccine educated? Where would we start with that? With high school? With colleges? I don't know where we would talk to people who, you know, they would allow it. So maybe after we take this next little break, we can brainstorm about how that might happen, and you could be one of the pioneers in Alabama to get that vaccine education going. Stephanie, we need to take the break, and for those of you who are listening, I'm talking to Stephanie Duren in Fairhope, Alabama, who is a health freedom fighter. We'll be right back.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detective. My guest today, Stephanie Duren, is fighting for vaccine education and freedom in Alabama. Stephanie, we were talking about vaccine education. How can we conceive of getting people to be as smart as you were and, first of all, being cautious and second of all, being educated on what is a vaccine injury, how to recognize one.
You know, I think it's so important to just continue telling our stories. Those stories have long-lasting impacts on the people that hear them and our circle. And so that's one of the ways that I think is probably the easiest to kind of shout that from the rooftop and tell your circle of influence so that they know that those risks are there. From a larger perspective, and when I'm talking to an older generation, you know, maybe like my parents' age, I talk to them about the childhood vaccine schedule, and that, you know, during their childhood, they might have had, you know, three or four vaccines.
Right.
And then my generation may have had eight or nine. And then I discuss with them that today's children have, I think the total right now, by the time they reach 18, is roughly 78 vaccinations. And
isn't that crazy?
It's insanity.
It's just crazy.
And every single time, you know, these legislators who are my parents' age and who are grandparents, when they think about their grandchildren getting that many, their eyes bug out of their head. And they're open.
They have no idea that it's not the same as when they were young.
Right. They just shout out, well, I had the polio vaccine and I'm just fine. I'm like, oh,
right.
My goodness, we have to talk about this because it's just not the same. You know, the vaccination schedule of today has, you know, after that, the Congressional Act of 1986 passed, it's just has ballooned to, insanity. It's just insanity. So, it just depends on which arena I'm in. You know, I kind of pick and choose how I want to approach that. I will say that when I'm discussing these things with moms-to-be or brand-new moms, you know, you're overwhelmed anyway with information. You're overwhelmed with a feeding schedule of a newborn. You're sleep-deprived, and you just don't have the time or the ability or the bandwidth to read a giant book about vaccinations.
Right.
It's not feasible. And I have found, like, my favorite resource is a little 18-page booklet. It's beautifully done. It's got lots of graphics. And Circle of Mamas puts it out. It has information about aborted fetal tissue and vaccines. It has the current schedule listed in there. It has a list of, you know, which preservatives in the vaccines have been causing issues. It talks about adjuvants. It has a list of resources that you can then take and dive into deeper if you would like. But it is absolutely well done. I keep a stack of those in my car at all times.
What's it called? Who puts it out? Circle of who?
Circle of Mamas.
Circle of Mamas.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama group?
You know, I don't know. It's not an Alabama group. I don't know where they're based out of, but the cost of the booklet, I think, is $4. But if you buy them in bulk, I think it even gets down to almost $2.
Wow, that's a resource I don't know. It sounds terrific.
It's one of my best resources that I use often.
And you're right, it's doable. When you have a newborn or you're trying to adjust a new child, you don't have a lot of time to read or bandwidth. So
no.
Something that's illustrated with charts and is only a dozen or more pages long is perfect. My book is too big, and it's getting bigger.
Yeah, so the website is circleofmamas.com. And
okay.
If you go to their store, there is they have like little pamphlets and little business cards that you can hand out to people, but the booklet is called The Well Baby Handbook.
I love that.
And, you know, I love that it's also cited. So when you want to learn more, and you can go to that information and then dive deeper into the issues that you saw in that book for the, you know, the groups of information there.
That's fantastic. Now, did you finish your legislation that you're doing currently?
Oh, yes. I need to tell you about the legislative session for 2025. Our Alabama legislators just went into session February the 4th, and I'm very excited about what we've been working on. There is a bill called HB 316 that requires that any vaccines inside of food be properly labeled as a drug. There is discussion and development and work on hiding vaccines inside of produce, and I believe have been successful in doing that with lettuce. Yep.
No.
And so this bill would require that any such product be labeled as a drug in Alabama, and that's going to be the first step to identifying it. And then we have another bill I'm very excited about that just dropped last week. HB 367 would prohibit any taxpayer funds, whether they come from state sources or federal sources or grants, from being used to advertise for vaccinations in our state.
That's a great one.
Well, thank you. It comes from sheer frustration driving down the interstate, seeing
these
billboards from our Department of Health advertising still for COVID vaccines. Mm-hmm. And we see them constantly on the sidelines of our football and our baseball teams with our college sports here in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And it universally frustrates the vast majority of our population here. People mention it to me often. So back in December, I did an open records request from our Department of Public Health asking how much money they have spent of taxpayer funds to advertise for vaccinations in our state. And, of course, they dawdled and dragged their feet and didn't get it to me until the beginning of February, actually the day after session started. And it was $18.6 million since 2019, and they have just ripped that out of our taxpayer pockets to use for the advertising of a liability-free product for a private entity. I mean, it would be like us using our taxpayer dollars to advertise for, you know, a tire company. Hey, put tires in your car, you know. I don't understand it at all. So, about $256,000 per month is being spent at this. So we have legislation to put a stop to it. It's not going to prohibit Big Pharma from coming in and using their own money to advertise,
right,
but it's certainly going to put a stop.
Don't use the taxpayers' money.
Exactly. Stop using my money to do it.
Oh, wow. Stephanie, it's time for our last break. And I know this is so helpful for our listeners. Thank you so much for doing this. You're listening to the Autism Detective. We'll be right back.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detective. Stephanie Duren is being an amazing advocate for our families and educating them because of her own son's vaccine injury from a flu shot. And this is a little bit of a different story than the MMR story that we usually hear, the DPT story. So, Stephanie, this is so interesting. So, you know, anybody who gets a flu shot does so because they're afraid that their kids are going to get sick, they're going to miss school, and you're going to have to miss work. What are some of the things that you can suggest, besides eating super-duper well and all organic, that you do to keep your kids healthy?
Well, I think the absolute best thing we ever did was stop going to well visits. We have ejected allopathic medicine from our life almost entirely. Don't get me wrong, it's got a place for emergencies. You know, they're really good at putting your arm back on your body if you have an emergency or you've been in a car accident, you know, but they're not good at keeping people healthy at all.
So they shouldn't be called well visits, should they?
No, no, goodness,
they should be called vaccine visits.
Vaccine injury visits, man, just kidding. So, you know, we rejected the allopathic model for health and wellness. And instead, you know, when I was walking through that time with Grayson, and that same friend who told me to research vaccines, she put me in contact with Dr. Denise Roulette, who is a chiropractor in our city, who was another just blessing and gift from God at that time. And I had four children, but three very, very young ones at the time. And she held my hand and gave me information bit by bit and walked me through this whole change in lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit by little bit, we changed the things we did. We changed our cleaning products. We changed the type of food that we gave our children. They received regular chiropractic adjustments. I tested her on everything that she told me and researched everything she said. And it all proved to be accurate. And so with that, over and over again, with that consistent accuracy that she displayed, you know, everything just proving to be true in the case, it just led me further along on that path to wellness for my children. And, you know, instead of getting vaccine or flu shots, we started dosing elderberry syrup. And, you know, they get supplements every day. Dr. Cave tested my children for the MTHFR gene.
Uh-huh.
And so now they take methylated vitamins to support their system.
Uh-huh.
And you
live where there's good sun, so you get good vitamin D, you play outside.
We do. My kids, yes, when they come home from school, they get to a Christian classical school here in our city. They are kicked out of the house, not really, but I say, go play. You go get those girls out, go play. You know, we are at the beach as often as we can and getting that sun, and we don't use sunscreen whatsoever. And amazingly, in the almost 6 years that we've lived here, nobody has ever been sunburnt.
Good for you.
And they are fair little children, you know. It's amazing.
It's really the two rules of staying healthier is avoid exposures to the toxins. So with your cleaning products and your foods, and then boost the immune system in any way that you can, with supplements, with good food, with exercise, with vitamin D, with everything.
That's right. You know, we finally were able to kick all food dyes out of our diet.
Good for you.
This summer will be 2 years now, and my youngest, who's in first grade, routinely educates his first grade teacher's aide, who drinks Gatorade full of food dyes, that she is drinking poison. But truth coming out of the mouth of little children, I think, is sometimes easier for adults to take
I know.
Than if it were to come from an adult, you know? So from what I hear, she is not bringing Gatorade into the classroom anymore, and I don't know if that's because she's made a change or she's just tired of hearing it from my youngest.
Good for him. He's on his way to advocating like his mom. So does your Health Freedom group, are you affiliated with Children's Health Defense, or you just work with them? How did they find out about you to write about you in the Defender?
Well, you know, that's a good question. We work with Children's Health Defense when they come here. The Vax bus came through Alabama and Birmingham, and we worked hand-in-hand with them to get that information out. And, you know, we're a part of Children's Health Defense emails.
Right.
And NVIC shared our story about the RFK. It was originally an email that I had sent out to our statewide membership for Health Freedom Alabama, which then got picked up by a really good news agency that we have in our state called 1819 News. And then from there, I think between NVIC and Children's Health Defense, that story got pushed out as well about meeting RFK and our story of vaccine injury.
Well, Barbara and I became good friends back in the early 90s. Barbara Lowe Fisher and NVIC has just always been at the forefront because of her son. And, of course, he's an adult today and doing well. And, you know, it's really interesting that once kids are vaccine injured, they can recover. And that's such an important message. It's horrible when it happens. And there's hope because of doctors like Dr. Cave and chiropractors who help keep us healthy and with adjustments. And there is hope, and there's lots more information out there than there was even 10 years ago.
Well, that's because of the path that, you know, OGs like you and Barbara and everybody that y'all laid down. You know, y'all really cut down the trees and pushed through that wilderness and laid the path for all of us coming behind you. And I appreciate y'all standing up and working and fighting and continuing to advocate all this time.
And having Bobby at HHS is also a real benefit because people are going to learn that having fluoride in the water isn't good for our brains. And if you want to buy toothpaste with fluoride in it, it's still there. You can still have it.
Right.
And you know, they're making such a big deal out of everybody's teeth is going to rot, are going to rot. I mean, that's nonsense.
Are deficient. You know, they're not deficient in fluoride in this chemical at all. Yeah.
Right. Well, Stephanie, I love your story. I love what you're doing. I'm going to come down to Fairhope. I'm going to meet you someday or maybe at a conference, but I'm so appreciative that you came on the show and that you've shared your story, and hopefully we'll get to some more young mothers who will question like you are and find alternatives.
Well, thank you so much for all of your hard work and spreading the word, and I look forward to meeting you one day.
Okay. Be well.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.